At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, that was interesting. That doesn't happen too often, but it did. And we absolutely have to enjoy it. They came to our place and they got absolutely annihilated, destroyed, embarrassed. You know, I could go on. But yeah, we showed them that we're better than them in quite a few departments, I might add. And yeah, I think from the minute the boys stepped on the pitch, we all knew the outcome. And I would even go back further and say, after that game that we had at their place in September, and Stay Humble Haaland said what he said, you know, you just created a lot of fire in the players' bellies, and you know, they use that fire to absolutely destroy them. So they can go and hop back to East Manchester with all those memories, Lewis Skelly doing Haaland celebration and people calling him out, or I don't know if there were people in the media that were, I don't know, trying to say that his celebration was disrespectful or something like that. I don't know. I don't really like to get into all of that, you know. Players can celebrate how they want. And, yeah, Stay Humble Haaland did. He scored a goal, but, you know, other than that, he couldn't handle Saliba and Gabriel, and it clearly got to him. He looked like he was going to cry pretty much the whole game. So, yeah, maybe try harder next time, mate, because you clearly just didn't have it, you know? It's not about scoring a goal. We can all score, you know, any player can score a goal. It's about getting your team out of dark moments, you know, dark times. And he just didn't do that. And not just him, because I'm not aiming this feedback, criticism at Haaland. The rest of the City players, where were they? I'm not sure. I'm asking the question because I don't know. You know, they just didn't turn up. Mentally, they were shocked. It's like, what did you think was going to happen when you come to our place and you give all that talk after the game at your place? It was always going to happen. So, you know, they need to go back to the drawing board. They need to go, I don't know what they need to do, but they need to get their act together, because if they keep playing like that, they're going to keep losing games. They're going to keep getting beat, you know? They look like losers, pathetic. I thought, were we playing Man City or a second division side? I don't know what team that was. I don't know what team. The way they played was, I'm not going to be too critical in that Arsenal had their moments where they weren't capitalizing, and it was evident. You know, when we scored that first goal, we just dropped our level a bit. And for me, I don't really want to be seeing that, I'll be honest. But you know, I've heard some pundits say that maybe that was our tactic. But I don't know. Is that really a good tactic? You know, man, when you score against Man City, and you're at home, just build on that momentum, you know. But yeah, I think when we allowed them to get back into the game, get a bit more fluid in their passing, etc., it didn't result in much. And maybe it was a tactic to conserve energy, but yeah, I just I would like us to be a bit more, yeah, just to maintain that intensity, you know, it's important. This game is gone. We know where we're going on Wednesday. And if you can't, you know, if you can't capitalize and maintain intensity, we'll get punished. We'll get punished on Wednesday. We know the scoreline. We know that the overall scoreline. We know what we need to overturn. So it's not about, I guess, getting too carried away with this result. But yes, it's important to talk about it for sure. And I'm doing my best to talk about it without getting too carried away. But it's a pretty significant result. There's no two ways about that. I mean, how often do we beat Man City 5-1? I mean, how often do they lose by that sort of scoreline? And I can tell you how often. This is the second time that it's happened in Pep's entire career. So we made history there. And it's good to have that experience, you know. It's good to have that experience for the players to have that in their mind that they can beat Man City there, that they have won over them psychologically, because it wasn't just about beating them, you know. Mentally, we destroyed them. We destroyed them. There's no two ways about it. They couldn't cope. They just couldn't cope. They couldn't. They didn't know what to do. They were lost. They were absolutely lost, you know. I felt so confident in the second half. Yeah, second half. I'm not saying the first half, because I know when we scored, we dropped our level. But in the second half, when they conceded and then we scored straight after that, there was only one winner. You know, there's no two ways about it. And for me, that's just good to see, because, yeah, we needed that win against them, you know. And we got it, and we got it in style. For Wanyeri to score, for Miles Lewis-Skelly to score, just the whole game, you know, that was quite a result, quite a performance. And I'm happy for the boys. I hope that they can use this as momentum, you know, going into the Newcastle game, because it will be horrible. This has just happened, and then Wednesday they don't show up. They don't fight. You know, they need to fight. We're 2-0 down. It's horrible. You know, there's no point talking about that stat too much. Let's overturn it. Newcastle, I wouldn't say they're there for the taking, but they haven't been great at recent. They lost on the weekend. You know, they lost the game before that. Their home form of recent, it's not really there, right? So it's for us to go there and to show them that, not show them, because we don't need to show them anything. They're still Newcastle and we're still Arsenal. And yes, they've got heritage and all of that, but you know, who's the bigger club of recent, right? So we just need to play our game and make sure that we give a good account of ourselves, because that's important. And I think that's the most important thing for me. Will we go out in the end? I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But if we don't fight like the way that we did on Sunday, then Sunday means nothing, because it's not about rising for the big games. And then maybe for a game that you're not so keen on, like Newcastle, Carabao Cup, I don't know. You know, different matches do different things to players' minds, right? But I just want to see my team go for it. You know, I just want them to be killers like they were on Sunday on the pitch. And hopefully that can happen. Because if it does, who knows what could happen. But it's a big ask. There's no two ways about it, but we definitely have to give it a try. Definitely have to give it a go, and I believe we will. It's deadline day, so obviously we know that we've been thinking about getting a forward, and we put in a bid for Watkins, so I don't know. Let's see what the club can try and do. I'm not too optimistic, I would say, but you never know. You know, transfers, the whole hype and part of football that transfers is Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny game, and you never know what can happen. So let's hope for the best. Let's hope for that forward, because we know that we need one, and not just anyone. It has to be the right one, which I think is what Mikel Arteta is saying. So hopefully we can do that, because Havertz and the rest of the forwards, they need support. It's very clear. We haven't got Saka back till March, so you know, we can't be relying on Wanyeri and the rest of the attackers, because we need something to freshen up things, freshen up our attack, to be honest. And yeah, I feel like if we don't sign someone, it's just not good. It's negligent by KSC, to be honest. It's clear that this team is good, and if we were to have that striker or that forward, because sometimes it's not about a striker per se, it's about a forward that can play in different positions. But I mean, I say that, I think at this point, there's no time to experiment. We need a number nine. It's just crystal clear. Everyone in football knows it. And anyone that thinks otherwise probably should watch another sport. So yeah, I don't know what the club are going to do. It won't be great if they don't get a striker. It's difficult. It's January. We all know that. So that has to be taken into account. But I feel like if they don't, for me, it's just not good. It's just not a good look, you know, to the fans. It's just not a good look for the club. And hopefully they can do their best to get a deal done, because I feel like having a new face come in, we've just beaten City. It looks like we're going to be going away to Dubai or wherever for a break. I just feel like these little psychological factors, you know, when they come together, you never know what that can do to a team. You know, we went to Dubai last year or whenever it was, and we came back and we were flying. Pfft, who knows this time, you know? Who knows what a new player coming in does, plus that Dubai factor? I don't know. You know, I'm just looking at history and trying to predict, essentially. I'm not KSC, I'm not the club. I don't know the intimate details of our financial situation in regards to our ability to meet PSR and FFP. So, you know, I'll leave that to the experts in the club. But as far as I'm concerned, not getting a striker in this window and leaving it so late is not great. It's not good. And to me, it shows a lack of ambition. You knew we were going to be in this position. Jesus getting injured made this whole talk of a striker even more pertinent. So I don't know why we're in this position. I'm genuinely thinking why. You know, I know Arteta's a very ambitious guy and he's very persuasive and he has his way with the owners and stuff, but I don't know. I don't really know what's happened. You know, there's no doubt if Edu was here, this probably wouldn't happen, if I'm being honest, because I feel like Arteta and Edu were their little team and they could have a lot of influence over the owners. Now Edu's gone, you know, who's the guy? I mean, there's someone in place, Jason Hato and the rest of the team, I believe. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their thinking is, and it would just be really disappointing, to be honest. Not really disappointing. I think I'm past that. I know how football works and transfers specifically, so yeah, it'll be disappointing, but we'll have to move on, no doubt. And I guess we can just hope. We can only hope for the best, but I mean, how many years have we been hoping, you know? Let's see what happens in the next game against Newcastle. Then I believe our trip to Dubai, or the players are going to Dubai. So let's see what happens with that. And I guess we take it from there. But good demolition job at the Emirates yesterday. big game on Wednesday. That's the next focus, and let's see if something happens with transfers today. I guess you can just flip a coin and we'll see what happens.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,